You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Abigail, Charlie, and Sean Benson, welcome to Token Theater Friends. It's always a pleasure to talk to all of you. Hi, Charlie. Hi. Want to say hi on the podcast?
Hello.
Okay, so I'm always happy to see you and talk to you. And I was going to say we're gathered here to talk about something serious, which we are, obviously. But there's this really, hi, Charlie. There's this beautiful sense of, which is something that you've always done so well, allowing rightful, I would say, anger, but also beauty and joy meet and be in conversation. So we could perfectly be just like, you know, wearing suits and being like, yeah, we're going to, you know, demand obviously equal rights for people, which is what we, I'm just blabbering, sorry, which is what we all need. But I love that. I don't know how you do that. And I feel like I've asked you this before, so I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive, but how do you accomplish? I was so surprised. I was so in awe of how urgent your reaction was to, because we haven't given context. Sorry, I'm being a bad host. To this sovereignty songs and this hymns that you reacted in a way that made me go, while some of us, I wouldn't say everyone, but while some of us are just shocked and we're like frozen. And we don't know how to react. You react with beauty and you react with a way, you know, the ways in which art can serve as, I don't know, as resistance and as love and just as communion, as calling out for people to be together. So how do you do this? You know, how long did it take before, you know, from this horrible Supreme Court decision to you reacting in song form and in art form?
Oh, thank you. I feel like, and if Charlie gets tired, then yeah, Sean's gonna take him and help him to rest.
That's
so
right,
that might happen right back, in a moment.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that we as a community of artists and sort of first responders in the world of creativity take turns, you know? So sometimes I think we can respond with immediacy, but also compassion and thought. And then there'll be something else that happens and I go, oh good, this other artist who I adore, you know, sort of was ready somehow or was called somehow to respond. So it's not like there's a lovely, even though sometimes something will happen and an artist will respond and I'll go like, oh, I wish that I had, you know, known what to say or any of that. But sometimes all you can do is weep or rage or, you know, sometimes you just have to be in your own humanity and that, or I do. And that means a certain kind of quietude, you know, within it. So I have to trust that our beautiful sort of broader family of artists are going to sort of hold each other within that, you know, and speak to what's happening in the world. And someone always does, you know, someone always does. And I feel like with this, we had been working on these hymns for a long time. And then when the decision came down, we knew it might happen soon, right? And when the decision came down, it was like songs started to just flow out of us and out of me. I felt like sometimes the heart breaks and has to rest and kind of implodes. And sometimes for me, when my heart breaks, it's like things start pouring out. You know, it's just like whatever was blocking song gets unblocked through the urgency of the moment. And there's something I have to say. So that happened this time. You know, this time I felt like, oh, I got to start singing right now. This is a moment for song. And other times I think, oh, I don't know what, if I open my mouth, only thing that would come out is a yell, you know, which is valuable too. It's good to scream a little bit, you know. But we've been working on these hymns for a while too.
The work that you do is usually autobiographical. And I also don't know how you pull that off, you know, like being able to do autobiographical work coming from two points of view. And yet what you're doing with this hymns, and by the way, since I jumped ahead to this, to the second question, basically, if you can tell our listeners and our viewers what we're talking about, that would be beautiful. After you tell them that, you're telling other people's stories this time around. And it's not the first time that you've done it, obviously, but I want to hear you talk a little bit about how it's different. You know, are you warier, I would say, transporting people's stories that aren't yours into song form, and how does that responsibility, you know, come into play with what you're doing and the work that you're doing?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, first I'll say what we've tried to make, okay? And then help me remember that beautiful question. Okay. So we've been making this series called Sovereignty Hymns for a long time, and what it had to do with, one was sort of a reckoning for us with the idea of sacred music, and really longing for a new body of sacred song, and that includes to me what one might call protest music, right? Reclaiming some of those, or reimagining what some of those songs could be, which comes from a long tradition of other artists doing the same, right? But just through our particular lens, to include diversity of body. And at the time I was thinking really deeply as, you know, a person who had gone through miscarriage and gone through birth and feeling really sort of abandoned by art. Like, I couldn't find anybody singing about that stuff in a direct way. And I'm sure there is something, but I couldn't find it. And I couldn't find what I needed. You know, I needed sacred music about this stuff that held the complexity of my own experience. So we tried to make some stuff like that. And then it sort of steered us towards a conversation about what it means to be holy in one's body, which what it means to be free in one's body, sovereign in one's body. And as soon as you ask that question, you know, then it gets very intimate and it gets very big, you know. So we knew that just coming from our own perspective had value, but certainly it wasn't enough. And there was so much that we needed to understand, and we're hungry for connection around what it meant to be sovereign in one's body to different folks. And we focused on reproductive rights. Although I think Sovereignty Hymns, the lifelong project, will not just be about necessarily reproductive rights. But that's where we began. And we began with friends. You know, everyone that we interviewed were people that we already had really intimate relationships with. And I don't think we'll always do it that way, but that was intentional to feel like we could inhabit the sort of landscape of their own grief and their own complexity they were each incredibly generous with us and trusted us to hold these stories sacred, you know, and hold them as carefully as we would our own. And I think that's the thing about having been memoirists for a long time, is that people know that we know what it feels like to have your story talked about. And have we made mistakes? Of course, you know, of course. But they know our intention is kindness and complexity. And yeah, I don't, was there another, what was the question before I started talking?
No, basically, you know, basically my question was like the Spider-Man thing, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So was it easy to tune into, you know, let me try to phrase this in a pretty way. Was it different finding the melody and telling mm-hmm. other people's stories than it is finding your melody and Sean's, because you know your beat, right? Like you beat.
I love that.
Yeah, in sync.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really playing with form here, right? We're really trying to dismantle something around what it means to write a musical as well, because we have thought deeply about what it means to write for a character. And the way that we've always approached writing for a character is to love them and imagine them real, right? And real to me means mad and full of their own deep intention, right? So we took some of that, those ideas of how you write for character, you know, and then sort of let the sensual reality of talking to each of these people seep into our skin. So it took a long time, is one thing I'd say. Like, we would do an interview, we'd do a pre-interview where we just shoot the shit, you know, and kind of talk more broadly about it and get also a landscape of what are you comfortable sharing and what aren't you, and, you know, and then we do this sort of official interview, you know, with the Zoom, which is what you see clips of. And then it would take so long to sort of let it metabolize, you know, for us, so that we weren't reacting, hopefully, but we were responding and just trying to trust that if we made a meal of their words and their gestures and their struggle, that whatever we created would in some way be a transformation of those things. And we hope, our dream of dreams was that it would be a sort of gift to them, you know, that in the same way that I longed for art that said, I hear you, I hear what you've been through, I see your humanity in a particular way, that we could offer these songs back to them and say, we think we understood, we think we heard you. Do you feel heard by this? And if so, will you sing it into the world? And they did. And that to me was a gift back to us, you know, and I hope a gift to people who listen to it.
Yeah, because, you know, it's a little bit, let me try to think of the right word. The vulnerability that you show when you're singing the hymns on social media, like I've seen you on Instagram, I almost feel like I'm invading a private space. And it makes me think a lot about how everything that has to do with hymns and sacred spaces is usually thought of as completely, you know, like being alone. Mm. So it kind of blew my mind that the sacred could be done in communion and in community. So basically, I guess my very basic question is it hard for you to show yourself with such vulnerability? Because I was like, oh my God, am I supposed to be looking at this? Like, does Abigail know why I'm looking at this? So you sing with people and you bring in people and you're transported. And it does transport you know, the listener and the viewer. It's almost like, I wouldn't say the opposite of, you know, like a TikTok duet, but the purpose, no, I wouldn't even say the purpose is different. The purpose is uniting and unity and bringing people together. But the vulnerability was just astounding to see how, you know, is that easy to pull off? Were there any like voices going, this private, like leave it, you know, keep it to yourself?
Oh man. I mean, my shrink would say one thing and I'd say another. You know what I mean? It is my nature. It is my nature to, I feel like I make the most sense in this world when I am singing. That's when I feel truest and therefore bravest, because I feel like whatever people will experience it the way that they do, or, you know, but I know that it's true, you know. So it may be pretty or ugly or upsetting or whatever it is, but I can offer something true through that, and I can't in many other forms and many other ways, but that's somewhere I can. And then I've learned so much from so many of my friends who also write with profound intimacy, you know, about self-protection. And I think there's artists who are navigating that, and so many activists too, if there's a difference, right? Like, so many activists are also sort of right on the edge of thought and opinion and putting themselves out there, and then are attacked again and again, often by people who agree with them, you know? And to sort of allow each other to be learning while we're processing everything, because we all are, you know, that we're learning and growing and sharing what we can the way we do through the particular vessel we were given, right? To allow that to include growth is something I'm trying to grant myself, so I'm not embarrassed, you know, and also hold for others, and make sure I'm in a community of people who do that. And I am. I have amazing, I mean, you included. I feel like we're finding the folks who want art and activism from humans, you know, who are going to look the way they look and sing the way they sing and think the way they think, and it'll be a little different the next day, you know?
I mean, you're singing beautifully, and I was going to ask you, I will ask you at some point, like, I wanted to sing with you. Like, I have a terrible voice, like, you're never out of tune, and you're always a great singer, but I was just, like, taken aback by how open you were, and that is something that you don't see very often with anyone, like, even, you know, artists. Like, you don't see that kind of openness and rawness to the point where I was, like, oh, my God, like, I feel like I stole your phone, and I was looking at your videos, which was, yeah. But I mean, I will, if you're comfortable, I wanted to sing along with you and try to put some light into the world, because like that's what you're doing. So if you don't mind, if you want to do that with me.
Are you kidding?
If I may do that with you is what I should be saying. Because you made me want to sing. I was singing along and I was, thank God, and every, you know, like thank everyone that no one has to hear me sing. Abigail doesn't want to hear me singing this. But I also was like, when I talk to her, I want to sing along with you.
Let's sing. Do you want to do it now?
Let's do it. Yeah. I mean, okay. Let me just have a sip more of my rosé.
I'll drink my water. You drink your rosé.
Cheers.
I think the world changes when two people sing together. I really do.
That's what I get from what you do.
I think you can't like simultaneously fight a terrible war and sing. Okay.
Amen.
Let's start with this. I'll sing something and I'll teach you how to sing it while we do it, okay? I'm gonna go,
okay.
Who makes the future? And we're gonna say, we do, we do. Who makes the future? We do, we do. Look around, friends, I'm right here with you. Who make the future? You know we do. Come on, who makes the future? We do. We do. Who
Do I start
makes
now?
The future? Yes, you start now, or
okay,
whenever
sorry.
You feel like it. And Zoom's gonna make it weird, but we All don't right. care. We don't care about weird. Okay.
I was gonna say you're the master here. Just give me like a cue or something when I should join you.
The technology is such that because you're in Sweden, it's gonna be a little crazy delay. Okay, but there's no proper community chorus I've ever heard where there wasn't someone on a delay. Okay, so we're gonna say it's part of the art. It's gonna be a little chaotic, but we're still gonna be together.
Okay. I love it. So I'm gonna do we do, right?
Yes, okay. You are, right? Okay. Who makes the future? We do. Who makes the future?
We do.
Look around, honey, I am right here with you. Who makes the future? We do.
Yeah! Thank you. I need more rosé after this.
I'm so full of joy.
Apologies to listeners that you have to be subjected to my voice, but you got Abigail. So thank you for that. It was really beautiful. I, you know, what you said
okay,
about...
Wait, hang on. We just got to
talk. Okay.
Let's not apologize for our voices. Okay? That's your voice given to you. It's beautiful. It's only yours. And to me, it's a sacred thing. So I know we mess around. We say, oh, I'm terrible, and I'm hideous and awful and all of that. But like, that's your one sacred voice, and I got to hear it today. So thank you for that.
Cheers. Salud. Yeah, I should stop saying that. Thank you for reminding me about that, Abigail. I, you know, what you said earlier about when people sing together, they change the world. I saw Megan Thee Stallion in Barcelona a little bit over a month ago. And as I was trying my best, to join in with all the, you know, dancing and stuff, we stopped because she also made, you know, this was before the Supreme Court did that thing and announced that really, you know, inhuman decision. And Megan Thee Stallion made a stop in the middle of this massive party with like 500,000 people at Primavera Sound in Barcelona. And she said, I want to talk about how men need to stop telling women what to do. And then she made us all, you know, raise middle finger to all the lawmakers in the United States and all over the world who think they can get away with that. And there was, I felt that I was in the largest church that I've been in ever. You know, there was twerking, which is not something that I thought I would see in what we are told a church looks like, but it did feel like church. Yeah. So it really broke my heart when you said that you couldn't find art that spoke to what you needed to hear and what you wanted to hear and art that comforted you. So I'm assuming that that's a part of why, you know, the two of you make art, you know, like you're like, okay, there's a lack, someone's gonna, you know, make this happen, you know, like we gotta do something. But can you talk a little bit about how you find that solace when you can't find that in art? And I mean, you're artists, so you go to art because that's your thing. And to know that what we love doesn't always love us back in the way that we should be loved is really hard. So how do you cope with that? And how does that affect and come into play when you're putting out your beautiful work into the world?
I was listening to Alexis Pauline Gums have a conversation with Prentice Hemphill the other day on Prentice's podcast. And Alexis just said, my creative practice and my spiritual practice are the same thing. And I went, oh, thank you. Like, it was this incredible permission for me to be honest about that. But that is true for us in many, many ways. And then there's this thing, right, where it means that your spiritual practice will be critiqued. you know? And, but if I really think about it, I think that's true for so many people who have, I think everybody's spiritual practice is critiqued in some way, whether it's in a tiny community or in a family, or whether it's on a national platform. I think when we reveal something so tender about ourselves, it will ring a bell in someone else's chest that they have to talk about. And sometimes that yields praise or connection even better, you know? And sometimes it doesn't, you know? But I think that's true in any church you go to. You know, I think that's true in any church you go to. Someone's going to have an opinion about the way you pray. And this is the way that I pray.
I do think, you know, all of our wounds and our challenges are both so unique, and also in their specificity, it will create the most connection. And I think it gets tricky when you're in a spiritual context. Just a minute, Louie.
I'll go talk to Louie.
Our older boy. I think it gets tricky when you're in a spiritual community, or when you're dealing with things of that nature, because it's so core to each person's identity and so core to their soul, that when there's a difference in view, it can feel like a difference in like humanity, you know what I mean? And like a difference in like who you are as people. But I think for us, it's just been so important to remember that actually, like, those moments are us in connection to something, rather than trying to think of how I would explain it. I guess I mean that we can get into tricky territory when we assume that we know what is true about each other's spirits and souls. And we get especially into tricky spots, which is what comes into play in a lot of churches, when you mistake your own needs and your own preferences for like God's, you know. It's another like term we were just taught that like kind of blew my mind, called spiritual bypass, where like you say, like, it's not me that needs this, it's God that needs this. And it just like screws with people's heads and hearts so much, and has screwed with my head and heart. And so I think within this work about like what do you do with a newly empty womb, you know, whether it emptied because that little spark, that fetus, wasn't meant for this world, or whether it would be because it would wreck the world that it was coming into, and so therefore there needed to be a change. I think in America, that whole question is put into shame and secrecy. And so even though it's something that every family around you has dealt with, we're told that it's something, you know, you're either supposed to, either it's not that big of a deal, so therefore why are you complaining, or it's something you should be ashamed of. It's either a failure on your own part, or like an active, like, cruelty that you did. And so it's this big facet, you know, like half of every pregnancy ends in miscarriage, like even the pregnancies that folks are wanting to carry through. So just stepping into that world, into the world of recreation, is stepping into this world of life and death. And I think we in our country have a lot of desire to have death not be an actual thing. You know, and so it was our hope with this that like that we wouldn't necessarily be providing any answers, but there would just be space to say like that we all know that this is something we all go through, and that we don't think that this should be a place for shame, you know, and just that like light is the best disinfectant for all of that stuff.
I have to say, sorry, go ahead.
No, that was
no,
it.
I
yeah.
was just saying, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I have to say, you know, it's also so refreshing to hear a man talking about this, a male artist. Because usually when it comes to talking about you know, reproductive rights and anything that people, you know, put under the women's right boxes. Like, it's so common to see male artists and male identifying artists just like, you know, like disappear and like, nope, it's, we'll leave the women to deal with that, when in fact it's men, it's us who are making this horrible decisions about women's bodies. So for you, Sean, first of all, well, very well done. I'm very proud of you. And
thank you. You know,
were there any, you know, any preconceptions, any ideas, any, you know, what have you discovered about yourself being involved in creating art that's not, you know, for women, but it's for people, for humanity, when so often your peers just leave those kinds of conversations?
I do think it gets tricky because men also have quite a storied history of explaining away everyone else's, you know what I mean?
Point of view. Being like, wait, that's like, my thing too.
Yeah, no, that's actually, that was me this whole time. So it's definitely, you know, it feels different getting to head into it with Abigail and in support of Abigail. But also I completely agree with you that it's, the whole thing of it being a woman's issue is false. You know, like, probably there is a man involved in there at some point.
Or someone who makes sperm. I mean,
exactly. A sperm creating individual.
Watched you.
Go ahead.
Can I say
please.
Something about my husband that I feel like I've really seen you grapple with exactly this question and really work to, with a lot of integrity, in my opinion.
Thank you.
To figure out how your voice can be in support and in your own questing too, within this conversation. You know, we made a whole draft of this piece that, instead of doing it as a series, we made it as like a 45-minute thing, one thing. And it sort of had us as like narrators and going through our experience of interviewing these people. We worked really hard on it for a long time. And then we kept watching it and just being like, this isn't about us. You know what I mean? And we've made this thing that we didn't mean for it to center us. We thought we were framing others, but by making it one piece, you saw us the most. You know, it just did center us. And we were like, oh, that's shitty. So we scrapped it. And then making it one piece also felt like somehow we were trying to say, here are the voices you should hear. And here's all of them, you know, whereas if it's a series, we felt like we could honor through the spaces between songs, the fact that there's such a multiplicity of experience here, you know, and a series can go on forever. And if there's another story we'll need to do, we'll do that one too, or rather continue a conversation about it, you know, rather than a 40-minute piece, which has a beginning, middle, end, and is closed. So all to say, it was we made so many mistakes and like grappled and grappled and grappled. It was one of the hardest things we've ever made, both of us,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a thunderclap. We're in the mines with
such
this piece for a long time.
A tender job to try to support the stories from these other people, because they're all like stories from some of their like hardest, most tenderest, you know, like most just most difficult moments. And so I feel incredibly grateful to them and humbled that they trusted us with it. And it was not easy.
Wouldn't it be just like beautiful if, you know, that thing you just said, Abigail, about knowing when to remove yourself from the center was actually how politicians did politics? I was like, okay, the two of you should be, you know, the Bengtsons for office, but no, like, no, no going to office.
Well, but, for you. Know, see, I don't think you'd get that rose and lavender. So.
You know, seeing that, yeah, sorry, that's where my mind went. But yeah, we need to use artists. We don't want to use politicians. But which, you know, again, like also the, I'm just gonna, like, it's not the rose, I promise, but my mind's just going so many different places at once. But, you know, based on this concept and knowing that you've done such a beautiful work, I would say, and such a beautiful job, that sounds so, like I'm your school teacher, but you've beautifully been able to tell people's stories and to share their stories, and now to see them being repeated and being sung by other people that you've never met, that the people, you know, your friends and the people that you're writing about have never met. What does that do to you? Can you try to describe that for me, for starters? Because it must be really beautiful and mind-blowing, and I don't know, you tell me, how does it feel to see this work that's so important and so beautiful being shared like this?
It's like, I just have to, I'm very moved by it. I'm really moved by it. And I feel, you know, because we kind of found ourselves as people writing what folks call musicals, and we kind of came in backwards to that idea, and then discovered that there was a world of theater and musicals that sometimes felt very closed. You know, it felt like maybe made for a certain group of people, and maybe not reaching. If you're Hamilton and every single person knows every word of your show, that's one thing. But that's not us. We're off-Broadway musicals. You know what I mean? So to feel that we're finding a way to make songs that can move outside of buildings, you know, that can be on the street or can be in homes or can be in people's hearts in that way. They did that. We didn't do that, you know? And so it feels like an incredible gift. And it's also, you know, our incredible friend, Adrienne Marie Brown, has done a lot to put our music into the world in a different way, because she recorded herself singing a couple of our hymns over the last year. And I think people were so moved by her interpretation of them. I think a lot of people think she wrote them, which I have to say makes me very proud. If someone could mistake our writing for Adrienne's, I'd be like, we're doing it right, you know? So I just want to lift her up, because I think she really also moved people through her interpretation of these pieces. And moved me too, you know, she makes them something new again.
I think it's kind of this extraordinary complicated thing about social media too, you know, that I feel like on one hand, I think like social media is responsible for a lot of the, you know, the misinformation and the general crappiness, you know, that let the Supreme Court do what it did. But it also, you know, it's a human thing. So it's also this vessel for connection. And so it's this very complicated thing for me of both hating it and feeling so grateful for it.
Yeah. So Abigail, I don't know how you do this, but you always jump ahead to what I want to ask at some point. So, and it's like, you're reading my mind, you know, like I felt when I was watching your videos, I'm like, you're also reading my notes. You know, in the spirit of this generosity that surrounds everything that you do, Abigail jumped ahead to that, and you mentioning, you know, the work of your friend that you love so much, and people thinking that it was, you know, that your work was her work. So who are some of the artists that you want to shout out, and some of the artists that you want people to, you know, sing their music as hymns?
I love this question. I mean, none of these people need us. They are fully on their destiny trajectory without us mentioning them. But okay, Malkia Devich Cyril, everything that comes out of that person's mouth, look them up, is she's in an active reckoning with activism and grief. How to make space for grief in the world of activism. And she has changed my life through our friendship and through her work. So Malkia Devich Cyril.
Yes.
Adrienne Marie Brown, changing my life in our texts and in her books and in everything that she makes. I mean, she's just innovating what the future could be by imagining pleasure in the future, by imagining a new way that we could be with one another with discernment, but without cruel judgment. You know, it's really delicious. There's a bassist who sings named J. Marie, is, and you can find them, J. Marie is Holy, who's doing great stuff, just pleasurable stuff. Our friend Kate Kilbane makes beautiful art.
Yeah, in the theater world, Cesar Alvarez and Heather Christian, I think, are both doing really extraordinary work.
They, like, whenever we see their stuff, we're like, damn it. You know what I mean? It's that feeling of of like both like, oh, we're not alone in the world, and also like, Cesar. I was trying to write a song about how chocolate could save your life or whatever. You know what I mean? And Heather, it's just like amazing piece. And Dave and Aeneas and, you know, there's this crew of folks.
Yeah.
We could really like talk all day about the artists that we love.
Abigail and Sean, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Can you tell people where to find these hymns? How can they, you know, should we record them and put them on social media? Should we just tell people, hey, we need to sing this together? How do we become involved with this beautiful project? And also, not to be like your agent or your manager or anything, but when can we expect more?
Hey, well. You can.
You can find it on our Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. We're at The Bengsons, BengSons. They're all collected on. This was commissioned by La Jolla Playhouse. So you can find it on their website, which is, I think it's
just La Jolla Playhouse. org/sovereignlands.
That's right.
Is where you can find the major pieces and some writing about them. And we've got the next couple of hymns are on this laptop right now, and I think they're going to be released within the week.
Yeah, a week or two. And then one or two more in this series. And then it's our dream that then we'll turn it all into a live cantata with the choir for the stage.
That's the dream of dreams. I'll just put it in the world right now. Is that what we want is to have a Sovereignty Hymns chorus. And we make a cantata, a sort of sacred evening of all these voices.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna ask for that. I'm gonna drink to that. I'm gonna pay for that. So we have permission to sing them and record ourselves and share them with you when we want permission. To. Right?
That would be what these songs are supposed to do. That would be fruition, is if you record yourself singing those songs, however you sing, whatever kind of voice you have, if you record yourself singing those songs and post it, or send it to your mama or whatever. You know, you don't have to post it on social media, but send it to us. We would love to hear it.
And I would recommend trying to duet them. I might even try it myself tonight at some point. Duet them on TikTok, which I still haven't mastered TikTok.
Me neither.
But I think this would be great. Yeah, we should try it, Abigail and Sean. Yeah, maybe like if you start it and if you do a TikTok, you know, start duet the thing, I'll come, I promise I will duet with the two of you. So everyone, I encourage you to do this. The songs are so beautiful and so moving. And see, the kids are driving up. They're beautiful, they're moving. And I just love that you invite us to tune into other people's stories and being, you know, singing about loss and singing about joy, singing about life and singing about the, you know, all these things that this people in the stories, you know, I kept thinking about a line about I could feel the baby or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, and just thinking that, just, I don't want to cry on camera or audio, but it did something to me that only you know how to do. And I appreciate that. And I love you for it. So thank you as always. And I hope to talk to the two of you very soon.
Thank you so much for the gift of this time and for the gift of your beautiful person.
Yeah.
In this world.
We love what you make. We love what you do. Mostly we love what you are. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you both so much.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.